Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahavirayam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Bhagavat Sandarbha Adhyayana 3 Adhikarana 4 The form of Bhagavan is the highest tattva. Page 86. Purva Paksha. Someone may argue. The Lord says to Uddhava that he is also a vibhutis of the Lord. Vasudevo Bhagavatam. Among those entitled to be to the name Bhagavan, I am Vasudev. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:16-29. The end of that section, he says, Mano vikara evaite. These vibhutis are all transformations of the mind. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:16-41. Uttara. That is true. He is included among the vibhutis only because he makes a general statement concerning a group. Just as one says, the umbrella carriers go. The statement includes the persons who are not carrying umbrellas also. He also says in the same chapter, I am form, taste, aroma, touch, and sound. Ahankara, the Mahatattva, earth, water, fire, air, and sky. The 11 senses, the living entity. Prakriti, the modes of goodness, passion, ignorance, and Brahman. I am all of these items, along with knowledge of them. And the determination of truth resulting from that knowledge. 11:16-37. So he is the things themselves. He is the knowledge about the things. And he is also that attitude and, you know, of application and applying that, you know, and so therefore then what results he'll get in everything. So basically what Krishna is saying, he is everything.
Yes.
Because right? Otherwise we'll take he's everything, he's the stuff, but you know, what about my feelings? What about this? What about how things work? Because, you know, it's just like the common thing in the contemporary or modern religions that you have that God is the creator, but the things themselves are separate from God. And we're the ones that deal with them and make them happen and all that, so God's not really involved. You know, if we do it how he likes it, then we, you know, he's pleased, and we do it how he doesn't like it, he's not pleased. But here he's pointing out he is the things themselves. He is the knowledge about the things. He is that determination of truth resulting from that knowledge, right? Because then the truth means you're going to apply it, the science, right? Science means it's applied knowledge. So he's all of that. So any of that to work, it has to be under his direction, in line with his laws, because he is the laws. The word param indicates Brahman. That is indicated in the material elements. Thus, the Lord has nothing to attain. He does not become a vibhuti. Right, so they're making this point because they're trying to say that the Lord... What's the point they're trying to make?
The Lord is a vibhuti, so he's not... How can you say he's the highest tattva? He himself says in 11...
That he's a vibhuti. Oh, I see, because he is all these things.
Yes.
So they can't understand he can be these things and be separate from these things. Yeah. That's the problem. See, the difficulty is without devotion, you can't understand God. And then the point is on your own, you won't have devotion.
Yes.
So it's only when you come in contact with the Vaishnavas, that's when you can come in contact with devotion, and therefore, based on that faith, then understand the Lord. So even though he is everything, he's only revealed through devotion.
Yes.
Okay. That makes sense. So that's why you see is that people have applied themselves to the 24 elements. And then that knowledge of them and that determination of truth resulting from them. They've applied themselves there. You know, with devotion. to the material, you know, karma, jnana. And so, therefore, the Lord reciprocates with them because it's material devotion. He reciprocates with them on the material platform. So they do gain knowledge. Like the person is sitting there thinking about something, you know, for days or weeks or years. And then Krishna reciprocates with they gain some knowledge in that area. But it's still within that. So because it's working in that process, then they think that what's beyond, that the Lord also has to fit into the same process. Right? That their mundane devotion for karma or jnana, and they've done that work, they've gotten the results. But they don't understand is that that devotion is there to their work. Where's the devotion to the spiritual? Right? They're willing to put in the devotion, let's say, for their science. But they're not willing to put in any devotion for knowing the Lord. And so the point is why they've learned is because of the devotion. And then they're trying to avoid that devotion when it comes to the Lord, just demanding that they should know. But that doesn't work like that. You know, it can say, no, it should be obvious. But it says, if it's so obvious, then why are they scientists? Why do they have a job? Why are they researchers? Why are they doing these things? Because it was so obvious, it would have already been done. You know, Aristotle would have already worked it all out, and now they just have to apply it. But they're trying to understand it, so they're devoted to their particular knowledge, their particular craft. And because of that, then they're getting results in that area. If their determination is according to the law. Right? Because he says you have to know the knowledge, and then the determination of truth resulting of that knowledge. So, therefore, if you observe something, but you've observed incorrectly, then you try to observe that so-called patterns that you see that aren't actually there, it won't work. But if you have an actual understanding of the patterns at work, then it'll work. But only in as much as you are able to perceive of the patterns. So the point is the Lord reserves the right to not be seen except through devotion. Right, so him as a person, you will only know through devotion on the transcendental platform. You can know him as the 24 material elements and the knowledge of them, the activities that entail from that, with material devotion. Right, a lazy person is not going to know. It's an active person who applies themselves with that devotion. Like you say, you know, the modern term would say they have a passion. For, you know, he has a passion for his music or for, you know, what he's doing or for his science. So that's that devotion. And because of that passion, that's why it develops. You know, that's why you see if someone just does something out of false ego, it doesn't necessarily work out so good. Right? Isn't it, you know, even in your typical trope about, you know, you have the good guy and the bad guy. What's the downfall of the bad guy? Right? It's always going to be his false ego. You know, because of the false ego, he does things that won't work, but he thinks will because he has such a great, you know, he has great esteem for himself. You know, and because of that, then something goes wrong. Does that make sense? So the whole point is that it has to be done in devotion. It has to be consistent as much as it's consistent. Like you see the person when they're young, they're putting in that time and energy, they're developing either their status or their position, their craft, their money, whatever it is. But then at some point when they just sit back on, you know, sit back on their laurels, you know, they just sit back and I'm great, that's when it just starts to fall off. You know, depending upon how much work they put in, it'll glide for some time. But at some point it stops. So unless there's continual effort, because the point is the Lord is eternal, the energies are eternal, we're eternal, so why wouldn't the endeavor for it be eternal? You know, why is it we think I'm going to do one thing and it's going to last eternally? That doesn't make sense logically. Right? It means you put in the effort, then you have to keep continually putting in the effort. So, does that make sense? Yeah? Yeah. So, therefore, that's the whole point. He is everything. He's the basis of everything. He is everything. He is those values that we're applying, you know, with that truth. But at the same time, is he's beyond that. So that's the one thing. We can accept he's beyond, and so all this is we're in control. It's all ours. Or he's all this, but then how is he beyond? And he's just like us. So that's the difficulty. They can't see both. The word param indicates Brahman. That is included in the material elements. Thus, the Lord has nothing to obtain. He does not become a vibhuti. He has vibhuti, so they're non-different. But it doesn't mean he is a vibhuti, and therefore has a source. Transformation, vikriti, takes place by removing a covering on an object, like threshing rice to remove the husk. The Lord does not need this, since he is not associated with any covering. He is free of coverings. Muktu upadita. Right, so this explains why there's no transformation, because there's nothing to remove. He is who he is. Like for us, there's transformation because they remove let's say someone's behaving, you know, in a rough way or a bad way, and then someone points out to them that. Then they give up that covering. Then people say, oh, there's a transformation. But in Krishna, there's no transformation because there's no coverings. Vishuddha Jnana Murtaye. He is a form of pure knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:27-11. Vishuddha Vijnana Jnanam. You are pure condensed knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:37-22. Right. Remember yesterday Prabhupada was using the same style in that one purport. Yeah. So that's what my Prabhupada's saying. We're following in the path chalked out by Jiva Goswami. So how he is established, just like the Dasamul is coming from the Sandarbha. You know, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur just gave it a name like that so we could approach it and understand it like that. And then you see how Prabhupada does the explanations in that the same fashion. So we're followers of Rupa Goswami, but on the path chalked out by Jiva Goswami. Right? So makes sense. You know, so the mission is there. It's Rupa Goswami has given us that of Lord Chaitanya. But the form of it, how that mission looks, the movement, then that's given by Jiva Goswami. Institutional form, that's given by Jiva Goswami. Right? So the Vishva Vaishnav Raja Sabha, that's established by Jiva Goswami. And so therefore we're following that. Right? Does that make sense? You know? Yes?
Like in one conversation, Prabhupada mentions, one guest asked, what books you followed to write Bhagavatam? And he showed the older versions of Bhagavatam, which Prabhupada brought with him to US. In that, in the beginning, is there, he followed like 9 Acharyas. One of the main is Jiva Goswami, Kamasandarbha. All the 9 Acharyas, he mentioned names.
Yeah, yeah, because there's this one book, it's a volume, it has all the whatever commentaries there are in Bhagavatam, they're in that book. Of course, all in Sanskrit. So Prabhupada would be sitting there and he'd translate from that book. So he would look at that, he would translate, he'd look at the comments, and then he would give the purports. So that's what he was saying, the purports were, you know, really focusing on the Acharya's comments. So there's nothing left out. When he says it's all in the books, means whatever main point was being made by the Acharya, it is in his books. And even these technical details like that, Prabhupada will mention it. You know, it'll always be mentioned. So that's the thing. By reading his books, nothing is left out. You know? So by this parallel study of Prabhupada's books and the Acharya's works, then one, we appreciate what the Acharya said, because by reading Prabhupada's books, we get familiar with that. Yes. But by reading the Acharya's works, then you start to see is all these technical points are in Prabhupada's books.
Yes.
Otherwise, sometimes mistake is made that they're not there. You know, Prabhupada's giving basic because he's just talking to people who don't know. The point is when he was talking to people who don't know in 66, he's talking Sandarbha, you know, explaining Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Mm.
You know, so some of the first recorded classes are Chaitanya Charitamrita. You know, and so in 66, it was not translated. It was only, I think, 73 or something that it was translated. 73, 74, somewhere in there. So then he was immediately there. So Bhagavatam is being spoken, Gita is being spoken, Chaitanya Charitamrita is being spoken. You know, like that. I think you, yeah. Mama nishta sharer vidhiyan vibhidyamana tvachi. His armor shone brightly, pierced slightly by my sharp arrows. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.9.34. Such statements are descriptions of pastimes involving illusion, since they involve contrary elements. Right, so when there's elements that we see are dense, then he's using his yoga maya. Like that. Because he makes the statement of how things are established.
Yes.
And then for his pastimes, then he can unfold it however he likes. Because the pastime means there is an illusion, no?
Yes.
You know, when the actors come on the stage, they don't come out just like themselves.
Yes.
You know, in shorts and t-shirts with their pot belly sticking out and a can of beer in their hand. You know, they dress up and put on makeup and speak though and walk the way the personality that they're playing the part of.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So therefore there is an illusion, but it's his illusion, not the illusion that covers us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's his own illusion. It's his own illusion by his own arrangement. Right? Because someone can say there's a covering, but that's only because he does that himself.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise there's no covering. Such is the account given by some sages, O wise king, but those who speak in this illogical way are contradicting themselves, having forgotten their own previous statements. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.77.30. Vishnu, who is without material qualities and undiminished, who cannot be pierced, who is beyond capture, and who cannot be dried up, is shown to be pierced by arrows, bound up and bleeding. The Lord, bewildering the demons and showing the devatas his medium-sized human form, plays among them. He does not show this wounded form to the liberated. Skanda Purana. Right? Because the liberated don't want to see that, because then they're worried and the anxiety and all that. But for the conditioned living entities, then he may show that, so then they think he's one of them. You know, for the past time. So these demons and all that, then they think, the demons and David, right? Does that make sense? Because the others, it's like you see the gopis are just worried that Krishna is walking on the path barefoot, and on there the grass, because the fresh grass when it pokes out, it's short, it's sharp. You know, once anything comes out, it's sharp because it has to get through the ground. Like that, or there's little pebbles on the ground and his feet will be hurt. So let alone if he's been pierced by arrows and stuff like that. Since Bhishma was on the side of the demons during the battle, the Lord made this appearance of being pierced. Now Bhishma regrets this, lamenting as if it was a bad dream, right? Because he wants to go out there and see and establish this kind of position where he's protecting. But now he's feeling bad because it's the Lord's pastime. So he's having this pastime, you know, with Arjuna and that. And so then he's not taking any particular position. But then Bhishma wants to break that vow. But, you know, and so as a devotee, then he's protecting his devotee and he's showing. But the thing is he's being shown the view that the demons are saying. Like that. So now he says he regrets this, lamenting as if it was a bad dream. Samskara, or making an object perfect, is done by removing some impurity or adding something. Because the Lord is complete, adding something is rejected. Because he is spotless, niranjana, removing impurities is rejected. He is a form of pure knowledge. Right? So samskara means you're purifying. Right? We have our previous samskaras, means whatever it is, that whatever's been there. But the whole idea is that we will purify ourselves through that process. So then when we take our previous impressions and connect them to Krishna, we become purified. Brahma spoke thus. Vriti. In conclusion, the current Adhikarana discusses that realization of the form of Bhagavan is the highest goal. through the discussion, it is also confirmed that the devotees who worship the lotus feet of the Lord are the topmost of all the spiritual sadhakas. Hence it is proved that the sarupa of the Lord is perfect and complete. In order to reinforce this fact, the next Adhikarana describes how everything in association with the Lord, such as his paraphernalia, his associates, his abode, etc., has the same qualities as his sarupa. In the next anucheta, the paraphernalia of the Lord are described as the part of his own sarupa shakti. So we've established that the Lord has, the Absolute has form, but that form is transcendental. That form now has qualities, right? And that form is perfect and is the source of everything else. And now, having established this, now there's nothing more to discuss on this. Now he's showing that everything connected to him, so his associates, his paraphernalia, his dham, everything like that, are on the same quality.
This is how, for the jiva, this is one of the most important things, that how he can transform from material consciousness to spiritual.
Mm.
Because if the devotees who are in his connection cannot attain the same quality as him, then it's like the Nitya Bada.
Yes, so then how do you stay? Because otherwise it's the idea. So when we say Nitya Bada, Nitya Siddha, that only applies when you're here. Once one goes back to the spiritual world and comes to the platform of prema, there's no distinction that's made. You know, it's just you don't need to do that. And it's just like here we'll make the distinction of Sandini, Sambit, and Ladini, Shaktis, but in the spiritual world you don't need to make those distinctions. You know, they're just all the Lord's devotees. Yeah. Adhikarana 5. The Lord's paraphernalia are non-different from his sarup. Anucheta 62 to 85. So this one, okay, this finishes this section. Adhikarana Prakashika. After proving that the Sri Vigraha form is the most complete and absolutely faultless, and is the topmost goal for the mankind. I guess you could say for mankind. Okay. You wouldn't have to say that. That's the thing. English is so irregular.
I'm trying to almost like what it where to put the.
Yeah, no, that's a funny thing, because one place you put it, and the next place it's the same kind of thing, but you don't put it, so. You know, like you say, the Lord, but not the mankind.
I never concentrated on this.
Maybe because mankind is a group,
yeah.
And the Lord is a singular, so then, you know, I'm sure they have some way to explain it.
And they're people.
Yeah, for the topmost goal for the people. Yeah, you can say. Of the people, by the people, for the people.
I'm just saying this is also a group.
That's true.
Yeah. In English they use.
Yeah, that's true.
Sometimes in science they use P everywhere.
Yeah, no, it's only since we've been dealing with this that you start to notice that it seems to be quite inconsistent. I'm sure that there is somebody from Harvard could probably say exactly, or from Oxford could say exactly how it's supposed to be done.
Generally we study in science school, so it goes in different way than
English. Yes. And it also depends where you're from. Probably, you know, yeah. The Welsh English seems to be also different from. Next, the current Adhikarana. Okay, the topmost. Okay. Sri Vigraha form is after proving that the Sri Vigraha form is the most complete and absolutely faultless, and is the topmost goal for mankind in the previous Adhikaranas. Now there you can put the. Oh, no, we did the previous. Okay. Mm. Next, the current Adhikarana shows how everything which is in personal contact with the Supreme Lord, such as his paraphernalia, his abode, and his associates, possess the same transcendental features as the Lord. Okay, so you're saying that, yes, because in other words, unless we're confident we can come to that platform, then why you're making the endeavor? Yeah. First, the paraphernalia which ornament the Lord are described to be non-different from him. Right, because that's in direct contact. You know, he's wearing, he's using personally. The paraphernalia of the Lord, such as the disc, club, bow, conch, kostuba jewel, armlets, belt, garland, etc., all arise from his own sarup. Therefore, worship of the paraphernalia of the Lord has the same transcendental effect as worship of the Lord himself, because the paraphernalia personalities are his dear servants. Yes, like when you're doing the puja, after you've offered all the 15 items, then the 16th item, then you're worshiping the paraphernalia. Then you're worshiping the associates. It's all part of the 16th. Like the 16th is all the concluding activities. How Krishna is connected with all the different things, how our devotion, our surrender, all these are all part of, you know, taking charanamrita, circumambulating the deities. These are all part of the 16th item. You know, does that make sense? Anything then connected to it, hearing Bhagavatam, doing kirtan, all these, they're all connected to the Lord. Does that make sense? You know, so like when we have darshan artik and all these different things, that's all part of the deity worship. It's the 16th item within that. So all these things have to be performed. If they're not, the service, the puja is not complete. The sodasha upachara, the 16 items, are not complete. So. Next, the transcendental abode of the Lord is elaborately described. The Vaikuntha planet of the Lord is eternal and beyond the material gunas. This abode is accessible only to those who have taken shelter of the Lord through devotional service. The residents of this abode don't desire to enjoy the opulences and facilities of the Vaikuntha. Of Vaikuntha. And are only interested in the service of the Lord. But the merciful Supreme Lord bestows upon them all his opulences out of affection. Right? So they don't have a desire to enjoy that because they're there just for the Lord. But they want to serve the Lord through that medium of opulence. But it's not for them. It's for Krishna, not for them. But you know, it's just like in the Yajna, Idam Krishnaya Dannamama. This is for Krishna, it's not for me. So after every offering, that mantra is said. So that's the Vedic principle. It's that all these things are not for us, they're for the Lord. Therefore, the inhabitants of Vaikuntha stay in complete bliss, free from any fear as there is no material gunas that can disturb the continual blissful existence and activities of the residents of the Vaikuntha Dham. Hence, the yogis, who desire to enter the supreme abode of the Lord, give up the desire for becoming one with the Absolute and worship the worthy lotus feet with great veneration. Some may still doubt. So, therefore, the transcendental realm is respected because then that's the place where you're going to perform and have relationships with the Lord. Otherwise, if you just merge into the Brahma Jyoti, that's just the effulgence of the Lord. You're not, in that way you're on that platform of transcendence, but you're not, you're on the platform of spiritual existence. But it's not actually a complete understanding. So then there's no relationship with the Lord, therefore you're not involved in the Dham. Some may still doubt the potency of the board of the Lord because the residence of the Lord in the material creation appears to be destroyed at the time of Pralaya. In order to clear this doubt, next it is illustrated that the Vaikuntha planet, such as the Dhruva Loka, situated in the material realm, is also beyond the effect of the modes and is not destroyed by the influence of time. Hence, it is proved that the abode of the Lord, whether manifested in the material creation or in the spiritual world, possesses the same transcendental nature of Sat, Chit, and Ananda. Finally, by citing from the Shrutis and Smritis, where Vaikuntha is described as Tri Pada Vibhuti, a comparison is done of the Tri Pada Vibhuti, Vaikuntha, and Eka Pada Vibhuti, material creation. In order to prove that the Vaikuntha abode of the Lord, here you can use the is independent of the influence of material world and is superior to it. To conclude this adhikarana, imparts that the tadiya or the transcendental abode, paraphernalia, and the associates of the Lord are non-different from a sarup. Right? So that's the whole thing aspect of padasevana is worship of the tadiya, of the Lord's paraphernalia and associates. So it's all part of the system. So we see even in archanam, you still have to worship. You still have to chant. hear and chant and remember about the Lord. You have to worship the associates. You're going to offer prayers. You're going to, do something favorable for the Lord. You are going to surrender. So whenever you take any one of them, all the others, someone who's always chanting the holy name, he still respects the Vaishnavs, offers obeisances, offers prayers. You know what I'm saying? It's just that when you say the nine processes, each one includes the others. You know, that's why you can do all or one. It's just where your focus is. And since you're focusing there, you may not be doing something else at the time. You know, you may be chanting and not offering prayers, but then there'll be another time when you'll be offering prayers. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, why did the acharyas write so many prayers? Mm-hmm. Right? Because they were just hearing and chanting. Mm-hmm. Right? But then you hear about how they're remembering the Lord, how they're serving. You know, like Rupa Goswami wants to do something nice for Sanatana Goswami. Mm-hmm. Right? So there's always these aspects of... Yeah. Anucheda 62. It was previously proved that the Lord's powers and qualities arise from His Sarup. That is proper since they are inherent in His Sarup. For instance, the intrinsic qualities of light, such as whiteness, arise from light's Sarup. It does not produce darkness. The vigraha of the Lord is similarly a characteristic of His complete Sarup. That has been proved and is proper. Since the Supreme Entity is invariably endowed with all Shaktis, the Vigraha is understood to be the eternal intrinsic quality of the Lord. The Vigraha is the Supreme Entity endowed with the highest bliss, qualified by a shape. Because He is the eternal shelter of Aishwarya and other spiritual qualities, He is Swayam Bhagavan. He is like a laddu made of pure sugar. Sugar endowed with a shape, which is known as a laddu, becomes the laddu. The laddu is endowed with sugar's natural fragrance and other qualities. Right, so it's inherently Him. So His sarup is Him. Right, and all things are coming from. By your mercy to the Lord, by your chit shakti, you have shown at the beginning this form which is eternally devoid of maya, which is the seed of countless avatars, and from whose navel appeared the lotus from whom I have appeared. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.9.2. This shows that the Vigraha is the supreme tattva and that it is Bhagavan. That is perceived by the wise and accepted by them. Having proved the Vigraha is the complete sarup of the Lord, to reinforce that fact, another section now begins, which will describe the associates of the Lord. Two verses describe that form that the Lord manifest when He appeared in this world, along with His paraphernalia, manifested from His sarup. Vasudeva then saw the newborn child, who had very wonderful lotus-like eyes, and who bore in his four hands the four weapons, Shankha, Chakra, Gada, and Padma. On his chest was the mark of Srivatsa, and on his neck the brilliant Kostuba gem. He was dressed in yellow, his body blackish like a dense cloud, his scattered hair fully grown, and his helmet, earrings, and sparkling uncommonly with the valuable Vaidurya. Vasudev saw the child shining brightly with a brilliant helmet, armlets, bangles, and other ornaments. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.3.9.10. The meaning is clear. Sukadev spoke thus. It's like it's just one sentence, paragraph. The meaning is clear. Sukadev spoke thus. Vriti, the next Anucheda instructs that worship of the paraphernalia of the Lord has the same potency as worship of the Lord Himself, because they are His dear servants. Anucheda 63. With this intention, it is said, Yatai kat vyanu bhavanam vikalpa rahitas svayam bhushanad yudha lingakya datte shakti Swamayaya. Tenaiva satya manena sarvagyo bhagavan harihi. Patu sarvai saruperna sada sarvatra sarvaka. May the all-pervading, omniscient Lord protect us at all times and places by His many weapons. If it is true that He is non-different from His shaktis, such as His ornaments, weapons, forms, and names, and that he still maintains them by his shakti. Oh, same. It is true. Oh, if it is true. May the all-pervading omniscient Lord protect us at all times and places by his many weapons. If it is true that he is non-different from his shakti, such as his ornaments, weapons, forms, and names, and that he still maintains them by his Surup Shakti. Srimad Bhagavatam 6, 8, 32, 33. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada.
Sometimes the translation goes, it should not be if, it is like as.
Yeah.
Because the same word may be used for if and as.
Yeah. Yeah, it's also, it's probably depending on the verses before and after, then they're making a statement. They're showing. So if it's to be true, then of course, then this would be like this. So how could it not be? Or, you know, something like that. Because they sometimes use the negative.
Yeah.
You know, the approach, they use the negative and then, you know, so part of kavya. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. A person highly elevated in spiritual knowledge knows that nothing exists but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.4, where Lord Krishna says, Maya tatam idam sarvam, indicating that everything we see is an expansion of his energy. This is confirmed in the Vishnu Purana 1.22.52. Eka desha stitas yagner jochna vishtarini yata parasya brahmana shaktis tateidam akilam jagat. As a fire, although existing in one place, can expand its light and heat everywhere, so the omnipotent Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although situated in his spiritual abode, expands himself everywhere, in both the material and spiritual worlds, by his various energies. Since both cause and effect are the Supreme Lord, there is no difference between cause and effect. Consequently, the ornaments and weapons of the Lord, being expansions of his spiritual energy, are not different from him. There's no difference between the Lord and his variously prescribed presented energies. This is also confirmed in the Padma Puran. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shudho Nityamukto Hinatvan Nama Namino. The holy name of the Lord is fully identical with the Lord, not partially. The word Purna means complete. The Lord is omnipotent and omniscient, and similarly, his name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and everything pertaining to him are complete, pure, eternal, and free from material contamination. The prayer to the ornaments and carriers of the Lord is not false, for they are as good as the Lord. Since the Lord is all-pervasive, he exists in everything, and everything exists in him. Therefore, even worship of the Lord's weapons or ornaments has the same potency as worship of the Lord. Right? So it established that fact, as we're seeing in the Pancharatrik system, all these worships are coming up. Right? They're part of the system. Like if you see in the 11th canto, when the process is being described by Krishna to Uddhava, then you're going to have that worship of the Parapet. You're going to worship him through yajna, you're going to worship him through his associates, worship him through his weaponry, you know, worship all these different aspects. You know, when you're doing the Manasa Puja, you're going to worship the Dham. So the whole idea is it's a complete system. So the Pancharatrik system, you can go ritual by ritual, and the verses that are there and what you're doing, you can just explain the complete philosophy. So if you start at the beginning of the Padati and went all the way to the end, you would have described the whole philosophy. You know, plus the culture, so many, it's just a very nice, complete system. You know, so just as Puranas then are the best presentation of the Veda, because they show people and the relationships and the culture and how they're applying it in their life, then the Pancharatra then also becomes superior then to the other aspects, because it's showing the practical application of service to the Lord, you know, through the culture. Mm-hmm. Using religion to worship the Lord. Mm-hmm. So therefore, in that personal way, you can go. So the Pancharatra and the Puranas, then they go together very well. Mm-hmm. The prayer to the ornaments and carriers of the Lord is not false, for they are as good as the Lord, since the Lord is all-pervasive. He exists in everything, and everything exists in Him. Therefore, even worship of the Lord's weapons or ornaments has the same potency as worship of the Lord. Mayavadis refers to accept the form of the Lord, or they say that the form of the Lord is Maya, or false. But one should note very carefully that this is not acceptable. Although the Lord's original form and His impersonal expansion are one, the Lord maintains His form, qualities, and abode eternally. Right? So even though He's expanding as His Brahma Jyoti effulgence, that doesn't mean that the abode doesn't remain. You know, for the fire, for the light and heat to expand doesn't mean the fire is not present. Yeah. So that's the thing, is they won't worship the Lord, but at the same time they don't have any problem in worshiping Shiva. So we can see if something's going on here. The Lord is always present everywhere by His name. Therefore, the prayer says, Patu Sarvai Swaruper Na Sada Sarvatra Samaga. May the Lord, who is all-pervasive in His various forms, protect us everywhere. Because the Lord can protect you everywhere, because He is everywhere. Otherwise, how does the Lord protect you? The Lord is always present everywhere by His name, form, qualities, attributes, and paraphernalia. And they all have equal power to protect the devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam 6, 8, 32, and 33 purport. The Lord appears without difference from His Shakti, Rahita Vikalpa, to persons absorbed in seeing His Supreme Form. Kyatmanu Bhavanam. By His mercy, Swamayaya, He manifests as the Supreme Form, filled with the highest bliss to those who worship Him as their Master. He manifests Shaktis, called as ornaments, by His Sarup, endowed with various Shaktis, Swayam. If this is true, proved by the experience of the wise, Satya Pramanena, then may He protect us with His ornaments and weapons that arise from His variegated sarup, sarupai. Right, so, for those who see Him as the supreme form, then Him, His energies and all this are non-different, they see this aspect of the Lord. And then we see, then by His mercy, for those who worship Him as their master, then they see His ornaments, His paraphernalia, and all these other aspects. So it's just a matter of how you're approaching the Lord, then that aspect you're going to see. The Lord appears without difference from His Shakti, Rahita Vikalpaha. Oh no, we just read that. Bali praises the Lord's Chakra. Yasya Rupam Anirdesyam Api Yogi Bhir Uttamer. This form is not detected by the best yogis. Vishnu Dharma. Brahmatas tasya chakrasya nabhi madhye mahi pate. Trilokyam akilam daityo drishtavan bhur bhuvadikam. O king, the demon saw within the moving chakra all the three worlds, including bhur, bhuvar, and the other planets. Vishnu Dharma. Right, so this would mean the demon means Bali, right? Because he's the king of the demons. So that's his background. Yes. It's not that he has a demoniac mentality. That's just the group he's from. You're like saying the Americans.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So he's from the demon group, from the Daityas and Danavas. He's from that group. And so therefore, you know, just like the Adityas, then they're coming from Aditi.
Mm-hmm.
So then the Daityas, then they're coming from Diti, right? Aditi, Diti, and Danu. Then you get the Danavas coming from Danu. So three different wives of Kasyapa. Then you get the demigods and the demons. No? Doesn't make sense?
No problem.
No problem. Okay. Okay. In the ninth canto, Ambarish also praises the chakra. The word linga refers to the Lord's flag marked with Garuda and such items, like the appearance of the Lord. These things sometimes appear to have a beginning, but they are non-different from Him. So linga also just means that has that connection. Like that. It's like, you know, sometimes it's referred to as angas. You can also say linga, because then it also means there's a form. That. One should meditate on the Lord's dear club, Kamodaki, smeared with the blood of the enemy. One should meditate on the garland, buzzing with swarms of bees, and on the pure Kastuba jewel on his neck, which represents Jiva Tattva. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:28-28. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. The yogi must contemplate the different parts of the transcendental body of the Lord. Here it is stated that the constitutional position of the living entity should be understood. There are two kinds of living entities mentioned here. One is called the Arati. They are averse to understanding the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So this is not like what we, when we're offering lamps. To see Rati, so Arati means those who have no attraction. For them, the Lord appears with his hand clutching the terrible mace, which is always smeared with bloodstains from his killing of demons. Demons are also sons of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, all the different species of living entities are sons of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are, however, two classes of living entities who act in two different ways. The Supreme Lord keeps on his neck those living entities who are pure, as one protects the jewels and pearls on the bosom and neck of one's body. Those living entities in pure Krishna consciousness are symbolized by the pearls on his neck. Those who are demons and are inimical towards the pastimes of the Supreme Lord are punished by his mace, which is always smeared with the blood of such fallen living entities. It's interesting. So then one would always want to have pearls on Krishna when he dressed. I always noticed Omkar would always have pearls. Even if he put nothing else, there'd be pearls. So that represents the pure living entities.
Well, Prabhupada saying that Prabhupada in his where are the diamonds and all these things? Prabhupada, the devotees are the diamonds. They represent.
Okay. Okay, so also the diamonds. So just all the ornaments. Okay, yeah. Upon his chest, the Almighty, unborn Lord, bears the pure Jiva in the form of Vibhuti, known as the Kustuba gem, along with the Shivatsa mark, which is the direct manifestation of this gem's expansive effulgence. Srimad Bhagavatam 12:11-10. The above verse shows how his paraphernalia are non-different from him in worship of the universal form. These items should be seen as directly part of the Lord. Atmanam asya jagato. So you understand, we're taking the universal form and connecting it to Krishna. That's different from what's talking about these neophyte yogis who are taking the Lord and connecting it to their what they're able to see with their senses. That makes sense. I take the mountains, and that's the Lord's feet. So they're using it in that way. They see mountains, and then okay, that's the Lord. So it's not as much about the Lord as they're trying to get used to the idea that, you know, it's kind of like that, you know. So you understand. So for the devotees, they're able to appreciate then the you know how Krishna is everywhere. That but it's always they're going to see it in context of Krishna's Bhagavan. So that's the difference.
But in the beginning, devotees also try to do that thing. They see something, then they try to connect it to Krishna.
Yes, but that's the process.
That should be encouraged.
Yes, of course. Because otherwise, then what is it? If it's not connected to Krishna, if it's, we don't see it connected to Krishna, then we think it's, I can control it. So, okay, I have knowledge about it, I've observed it, I have knowledge about it, therefore I can control it and enjoy it. Rather than, if it's Krishna, I have knowledge about it, one by his grace, but he is that knowledge. It's not, the knowledge is already there. It's not that I've created it. And then it has a dharma, so it functions in a particular way, as also created by Krishna. So I can't deal with it not in a way how the Lord would want. So you always have to be following the rules and doing things according to what's the appropriate position. So it controls one. Otherwise, one will think, I'm observing it, so therefore it's my rules, I can do whatever I want. So that's the difficulty. So it's always right. But the point is that why it's like that? Because Krishna's a person. That's why it does like this. And why would it be like that as a person? Because those rules that govern it then show how it's engaged in, you know, which aspect of Krishna's service. You know, so that way it goes back to the person. The person starts. So the qualities in that are imbued there, that are all pervading, that's coming from the Brahma Jyoti. Where's the Brahma Jyoti from? That's from Krishna. Like that. So therefore, it's the effulgence of his qualities. Therefore, that pervades everything, and therefore, everything has qualities. And depending upon what it is, those qualities shine forth. You know? So like for the pillar, then strength will shine forth, and for, you can do it in such a, aesthetics can be there, you know, different things you can do. What's that? Atmanam asya jagato nirlepam aguna malam bibarti kostuba mani sarupam bhagavan harir. The Lord wears the kostuba gem which is himself, uncontaminated by the material world and without material gunas. Vishnu Purana 1.2.68. Vishwarup spoke thus to Indra. Vriti. The next two anuchedas discuss about the transcendental abode of the Lord, Vishwarup. He's the one with the three heads?
Yeah.
So he sees that here, he's speaking all these points about the Lord in the transcendental position. But still, Indra, because he's worried about his position. You know, so someone who has this transcendental position, so he's going to be seeing everything in context of the Lord. So therefore, if he's offering oblations to the demons on the side, you know, the Indra's, he's doing a yajna on behalf of Indra. But because he's coming from that family, then it's appropriate for him to offer respect to his family. But he's not as it's not from the material point of view, as Indra is looking at it. It's because this is all part of the Lord's creation. He happens to be from there, and that's the etiquette. So then he's offering. So it's not to make the demons more powerful. Right? Because in the Lord's creation, then it's supposed to be functioning in a certain way. And the demigods are supposed to be managing the universe, not the demons. That's what it says. So when Indra cuts off his head, he's misunderstanding this position of the transcendental position of Vishwarup. And so we see is that therefore then reaction of that, Vishwarup's father, then conjures up a demon to kill Indra. But instead, because of the, you know, mistake in chanting the mantras, then it's someone who Indra will kill. But even in this whole pastime, Indra never actually comes to transcendental consciousness. Right? So it's not that after Vritrasura then explained to him about how the Lord has given you the thunderbolt, therefore it'll have that potency because the Lord, you know, the Lord has imbued it with that potency. He's non-different. So if you should have proper faith, you're a devotee, you should have faith. And because of this faith, then you should use that as your weapon of choice, not your club. Right? But having killed Vritrasura, it doesn't say that then now with that, you know, proper transcendental understanding, then he carried on in devotional service, like that. It just says Vritrasura went back to Godhead and Indra stayed in the material world to rot here. So that...
And then also he gets the pop, Brahma.
Yeah, then he gets the pop for killing Vishwarup. So that's the whole point, is that Indra, he's associating with two great personalities. One's a great devotee, but one's at least a liberated personality, or that kind, you know, a jnani. But he's unable to take advantage of either of that because so much passion, he can't see what's actually worth seeing. You know, he's doing his duties because he's attached to that. He wants to be in that position. He wants that authority. He wants that control. And it's being engaged in the Lord's service. So, you know, his position as a neophyte devotee is there. But we can see is he's not necessarily learning and taking advantage of the association that he could. Like that. So that's the difficulty.
Can you say that the guy is lacking guidance?
Yes. It's lacking of guidance because you see is that he's not taking advantage of the guidance, right? His guru walks in and they're worshiping him and that, and he doesn't even notice. He's so absorbed and so happy with the worship, he doesn't even notice. You know, it's kind of like, what was it? You know, that, what is it? John the Baptist.
Yes.
You know, who was the guru of Jesus?
Yes.
Like that. So, because John the Baptist tend to be a bit outspoken,
mm-hmm.
you know, he was kind of like, what is his name? Was that Mukunda Dutta? Or what was that? Not Damodar. Damodar Pandit. Mm-hmm. He was straightforward. What he was saying is correct and all that, but around kings that doesn't always work so well.
Mm-hmm.
So he was pointing out that it was a fault according to, you know, how you say, the religious law, that he was married to who he was married to.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. I think it was, huh? You know, I don't remember what it is, but he shouldn't be marrying her. Just because that's the law. And so, you know, he's made the point and this and that, and, you know, he has so many other points and all this. So the king had put him in the dungeon and all this and all that. And so, he doesn't want to get rid of him because he knows he's, what do you call it? You know, his position, how advanced he is and all this. But there's others that, because he speaks so much and all that, I think the wife, she didn't like it. Because he's speaking, he shouldn't be married to her. And if she's not married to her, what's her position? Right? Nothing. Well, he's still the king. So the wife really didn't like it. So then she made an arrangement that someone would perform a dance for the king. You know, because of entertainment, but they would do a really nice dance. And it was someone that he always wanted to see dance. And so then, so the wife arranged that. So while the dance is going on, he's totally absorbed in the dance. You know, because it's kind of a bit of a provocative dance. Then the, you know, one of the, what do you call it? You know, the guys that, like, you know, the head of the guard or, you know, the head of the prison, that kind of person, you know, the police comes up to him and asks him that, you know, we want permission to kill John the Baptist. Because he's so absorbed, he just, yeah, whatever you need, yeah, and just goes on. And so it wasn't until afterwards, after the dance and like that, then he understood what happened. So I'm not sure how it worked out, you know, for the family relations, but that's the whole point, is Indra's so absorbed due to his lust for power and you know, and fame and this like that, he can't appreciate when his guru walks in. And so because of that, then he's not able to take a full advantage of all these facilities that he has as Indra. Or we see others can be Indra and they don't have that problem. But it seems to be a pretty standard thing that Indra has this problem, you know. Because this comes up, you know, he ends up hiding in a lotus stem. You know, he ends up with, you know, all the thousand eyes on his body. You know, so each time it shows up, there's a slight difference in how he gets the thousand eyes. But it's always for bad behavior. Bad qualities. It's not that, you know, just he, you know. You know what I'm saying? You know, he thought it was mustard oil, but it was, you know, a thousand eye oil. And so he put it on to take his bath. And after he said, well, what's this? You know. You know, it's always something, you know, how you say, not appropriate, like that. So, that's just to show that even though he's there, he's in that supreme position of manager of the universe, but still, even that character still creates problems for him. But, at the same time, there's other places where it says, because he is such powerful and like that, therefore, he's not, others can't punish him. Because who else has that position? So therefore, other than you know, let's say his guru, you know, Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu, other than them, who's there to punish him? Like that. So everybody else shouldn't be making comments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, oh, he did like that, so he shouldn't be king. Because it was up to us. You know, he wouldn't be king of heaven. He's made too many mistakes. We wouldn't allow it. You know, Brahma wouldn't be able to be head of our sampradaya. You know, so many things. We just, that's the problem. You use these politically correct things. Then no one's qualified for anyone except yourself. Like that. So Vishwarup spoke thus to Indra. Riti. The next two Anuchetas discuss about the transcendental abode of the Lord. It is described that the abode of the Lord is eternal and is beyond the material modes. And the devotees who take shelter of the Lord alone can attain this abode. Because the abode is transcendental. Those who take shelter of the Lord alone, that go beyond the modes, they can be situated there. Because if you still have some material interest, then you have to be situated in a place where you can get that. You know, so that's why this material world is such that you can get the material things and get the spiritual things. So that's why you're situated here. So those who it says, that's why it says exclusively. Right? So those who exclusively take shelter of the Lord, they are able to then exclusively be in the spiritual world. Right? So they're situated there. Does that make sense? And then those who aren't interested in the Lord at all, then they're exclusively situated in the material world. Like that. So, yes?
Like Brahma concludes in Brahma Samhita, only few rare souls can attain that abode.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Anucheta 64. Vaikuntha is of the same nature. That is proved by the following. The Lord, gratified by his worship, showed Brahma Mahavaikuntha, which is superior to all else, which is free of suffering, confusion, and fear of offenses, and which is praised by the devatas who constantly see the self. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.9. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. Executing bhakti yoga is exactly like sitting on the lotus sprouted out of the abdomen of the transcendental personality of the Godhead. For Lord Brahma was seated there. Brahmaji was able to please the Lord, and the Lord was also pleased to show Brahmaji his personal abode. Srila Jiva Goswami, in the comments of his Krama Sandarbha, annotation of Srimad Bhagavatam, cites quotations from the Garga Upanishad, Vedic evidence. It is said that Yajnavalkya described the transcendental abode of the Lord to Gargi, and that the abode of the Lord is situated above the highest planet of the universe, namely Brahmaloka. This abode of the Lord, although described in revealed scriptures like the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, remains only a myth for the less intelligent class of men with a poor fund of knowledge. Brahmaji also describes the highest planet of the Vaikuntha Loka as Goloka Vrindavan, where the Lord resides as a cowherd boy keeping transcendental Saravi cows and surrounded by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. Chintamani Prakarasat Mashukalpa Viksha Lakshabriteshu Surabir Abhipalayantam Lakshmi Sahasrasata Sambhamase Vihanam Govindamari Purusham Tamahang Bachami Brahma Samhita 5.29. The statement of the Bhagavad Gita, Yad Gatva Na Nivartante Tad Dhamma Paramam Mama, Bhagavad Gita 15.6, is also confirmed herewith. Param means transcendental Brahman. Therefore, the abode of the Lord is also Brahman, non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is known as Vaikuntha, and his abode is also known as Vaikuntha. Since Vaikuntha realization and worship can be made possible by transcendental form and sense. So as Brahma is situated on the lotus, or who is non-different, so his situation being non-different from the Lord, then from that position rendering service. So as we situate ourselves in devotional service, in connection with the Lord, then you can realize the Lord. Right? So then the Dhamma is revealed. When the Dhamma is revealed, then you can appreciate other things. Like, it means, we'll first appreciate the Dham,
yes.
Like that. Then the devotee is performing pastimes for Krishna in the Dham. So we appreciate Krishna, his transcendental position. Then we start his paraphernalia and all that, and then we start to appreciate the devotees. Because then that's all together, yeah.
Interesting, when we went to South Indian temples, Pujari first explains what is the Pita and then where Lord is seated, and then he goes up.
Okay, yeah.
We never, sometimes it's different seatings, like, yeah. What is the...
Interesting. Yeah, because you always start from the feet, but that's also because that's where you're starting from the Dham. Mm. Yeah. Interesting. You know, it's just like Sri, it means you have the Lord, Icha Jnana and Kriya. So Jnana and Kriya are serving the Lord in the position of Icha. So that means also then the energies that Bhu and Nila are serving, the Lord through Lakshmi or Sri.
Mm-hmm.
So even there, you're starting from there because the Lord's with Sri. But the point is then you're going to start with Bhu and Nila. So, yeah. For the understanding of the less intelligent, this point is made clear. Since Vaikuntha is not attained by material karmas, and is described as being beyond the material world in scriptures, and is praised because those who attain it develop similar qualities. It must be without material gunas. Because the Lord's abode within the material world is identical, it is also without material gunas. Thus, the Lord's abode should be understood to be a form of the Lord. It is described as being beyond Prakriti and is glorified as eternal. Deriding the happiness of liberation, Vaikuntha is attained by bhakti. It is also filled with eternity, knowledge, and bliss. It cannot be attained by karma. So you can't just do good work and attain Vaikuntha. You can do good work and get a better facility here, or go to a higher situation where there's better material facility. But you can't attain the spiritual world. Heaven was established by the residence of the devatas. Bhuvarloka as the place of the ghostly spirits, and the earth system as the place of human beings and other mortal creatures. Those mystics who strive for liberation are promoted beyond these three divisions. So Bhurbhuvaswa, they have their position. But those who are mystics going to go, liberation means beyond Bhurbhuvaswa. Yeah. Brahma created the region below the earth for the demons and the Naga snakes. In this way, the destinations of the three worlds were arranged according to karma in the three gunas. By mystic yoga, so that means you have the earth planet. What's below it means you have the earth planet and you have heaven, right, which is way above. So what's between earth and heaven and what's from earth below, that's all antariksha. Does that make sense? So that's all in between. So that's why they're more powerful.
And above the earth?
Yeah, it's also antariksha. It just may be below will be the demons and the snakes, and above will be the, you know, the ghosts and all these kind of things. The yakshas, rakshasas, like this. But the point is that's all antariksha. In other words, you have earth, and then bhur, then you have bhuvar, which is in between, you know, and swa. So, you know, so bhur and swa, then bhuvar is in between. Does that make sense? So, in that, it'll have its divisions of who's where. But the point is they're more powerful than humans. Right? So, Martyula means they're always dying. These other guys live lots longer. I mean, they also die, but on our standard, then they're, you know. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like bugs and all that. It's just, you know, they'll die. You know, when a fly gets into the house, you know he'll be dead in the morning because they'll dehydrate.
Yeah.
You know, so that's for all these others, that's human beings.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, it's just like this. One of our years is one day to the demigods.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone dies in 100 days, you know, it's just that these are the guys that die, right? You know, and that's if you live 100 days, you know. A lot of people only live, you know, 2 months or... You know, 3 months, you know, they just don't make it 100.
Yes.
So it's just the place of death. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, when it comes to Brahma, then they're all, you know, like that. But, you know, it's still, it's given to human beings. They've given that status.
From Indra to Indra Gopa, all are born by karma.
Yes, yes, yes. No, everyone's born. So that's why it says, according to their karma, then they're situated in the three gunas, where they are. So in other words, these other ones, there'll be some more goodness. And that's why they have, you know, goodness, but that's why they have more powers. Well, the humans tend to be situated in more of ignorance. But if they situate themselves in goodness, then that's why they're the best. Because then they can perform those rituals, so they get them beyond. Right? The others, then they're in whatever position it is, but they can't improve their position. They could take up devotional service, but they can't improve their karma. They can keep it from running, not running out immediately. Right? You know, so it's like, if Duryodhana and them hadn't harassed the Pandavas, you know, things would have gone better for them. But specifically what destroyed them was how they dealt with Draupadi. So if that whole pastime with Draupadi hadn't happened, they just had the gambling match and then sent the Pandavas out to the forest with their wife, they would have just gone on fine. Yeah, I mean, you know, of course, they are, you know, whatever they are, but it wouldn't have destroyed them so soon and so completely. Because you have to understand, in an age where you live 1,000 years, then being destroyed, you know, when they're only in their 120s, yes, you know, that's you know, there's something wrong there.
So the whole race.
Yeah, the whole race. Everyone, every last brother was killed. Of the 100 sons there, all 100 were killed. Everybody who was connected to them was killed. Right, you know, their barber, their dentist, they were all, you know, existing.
One son was spared.
Sorry?
One son was spared.
But he was
well, that's not
different mother. Same father, but different mother. Like that. So he was, and I think he fought on the Pandava side. That I know of. He fought on the Pandava side. Because at one point then, I think, Yudhishthir, before starting the war, asked, if everyone wants to come from that side to our side, you're welcome to come. It doesn't matter, you've been an enemy up to now, we'll accept you. He came across. That was it. The other 100 brothers didn't. Right? Vikarna probably wouldn't have been killed, but because Bhima had said, I'll kill all 100, then he had to kill him. Otherwise, he would have left him and killed the other 99. Because in the assembly, he stood up and said that what Duryodhana is, how they're dealing with Draupadi is wrong. He says, you're not answering a question, you're not dealing like this, this is wrong. Like that. You know, but that's the problem, he said. That's why you have to be careful what you say. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.